It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 10 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Looking at the number 54, Tony, but before we do that, just going to talk for a second about all the football that's going on, man. It's crazy. It's getting into conference season. Big games already here and there, and we'll be talking about all of them. But before we do that, let's talk about number 54. Lots of great players, number 54.
Again, it's a linebacker-heavy number. Brian Urlacher, a lot of people would probably put him in their top maybe 10 linebackers of all time. Zach Thomas, a great Miami Dolphin linebacker. Teddy Bruschi, who's not only was a really good linebacker for the Patriots, but he's also a big TV personality. He's on Get Up, First Take, things like that, a whole lot. Somebody near and dear to your heart, Greg, Randy White. Now, he was more of a defensive lineman than a linebacker,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
But he was mean.
He was.
He was mean. And then a couple guys pretty dear to my heart, Horace Grant, former Chicago Bull, really good big man. And then the Goose is loose, Goose Gossage.
Great name.
Yes. The Pirate, Yankee. He probably played for other teams as well. Reliever. The best thing I'd say about Goose, he's in the Hall of Fame. There's not many relievers in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I've also got two of his autographs, so I'm a big fan of Goose Gossage, and I need to thank Jacob and Jay for that.
You got that before you were before he was famous, right?
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. I've got his autograph.
You got that over Hot Springs, right?
Yeah. Well, Jay and Jacob got it. Yeah. I've got his autograph on an old Pirate hat, the pillbox hats. I've got his autograph on one of those, and I've got his autograph on a baseball.
So. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about you, Tuttle? You got any Razorbacks for us?
I had to look this up because I didn't really know it. Billy Ray Smith Sr. was number 54.
Okay.
According to the interwebs.
Okay.
What number was Billy Ray Smith Jr., do you know?
Was it 3?
I was thinking 87 for some reason.
It may be. It may have been 3. He may have been 3.
We may never get to his number.
Maybe
they might fire us before then.
In pro. I don't know. That may have been the pros he was 3 or maybe I'm dreaming.
We're into those numbers right now that's hard to find Razorback players. I mean,
well, they don't. Any good linebackers?
Well, they don't put a lot. I mean, when you look at it, it's hard to go back and look for them. I mean, you got to go to the dark web to find those numbers for Razorbacks. You know, running backs. Yeah, they got those there.
We're going to assign that to you, Jeff. You're probably familiar with the dark
running
web.
Backs. Man, I had a joke right there. But.
I got you before you got me.
Oh, anyway, anything else about the number 54 before we move on?
No, but as we go through these 50s, there's a lot of good linebackers thing, man. We could get to the end of the 50s, and then we could just have a top 25 linebacker thing.
Let's do it.
Oh, that would be cool. I like that idea. So
sounds good to me. Well, let's start talking about some high school football because that sounds good to me.
All right.
It's time to talk about the DeQueen Leopards. DeQueen Leopards, a tough week for them, Tony, this week. Of course, you know, probably not unexpected. I mean, playing the three-time defending state champs in 5A, who are down a little bit, I believe.
Well, I guess. Yeah, here's the deal. I know Hot Springs beat Parkview a couple weeks ago. If they played again this week, I'd put my house on Parkview. I mean, I just think that maybe that was maybe a fluke. Maybe not. I guess I'll see Friday night. But Parkview, the rumor of their demise has been greatly exaggerated.
They're still a really good football team.
They are.
The
Leopards I thought the Leopards played hard, and the other Boulding now is coaching Parkview, and I thought that they showed a lot of sportsmanship Friday night as well. So, you know, Leopards come out of it relatively unscathed as far as injuries. One of the things you hope for when you play a team so much bigger and faster than you are and that was accomplished. So hopefully you put this loss behind you. You go to Hot Springs this week, who's also 4-1, and just give effort. That's all a coach can ask is effort.
Yeah, and I think the task does not really get a lot easier the rest of the season. They've got a lot of tough games left.
Oh, absolutely.
Hot Springs is the one they get this week. Hot Springs, very good football team. They only lost one game, and that was to Arkadelphia, I believe,
yes.
In a close loss.
Yes.
They beat Hope 49-14, which
– Well, you can make the argument by the results so far this season that Lakeside might be the best team in the conference.
Right.
They're still coming up on the schedule.
Yep.
It's not going to get any easier for our Leopards, who are 3-2 on the year.
Yeah.
Landon Wise led the Leopards with 15 carries for 65 yards. Hot Springs beat Hope 49-14, and that pretty much puts the ball on the tee.
There you go. Let's see what Coach Richard Bell has to say.
Coach, the Leopards have improved significantly in the weight room with the growing number of kids in your 1,000-pound club. But when you run into a big, strong team like Parkview last week, Hot Springs this week, it just goes to show how important that off-season strength training is.
Yeah, well, I mean, the boys have 100% gotten stronger, but it's going to happen in life where you're going to run up against somebody who's stronger than you are. I always tell them they may be bigger, they may be stronger, but you give more effort. So it's just one of those things. Last night, we've gotten as strong as possible as we can in the last 2 years, and sometimes you just get outmanned, and that's kind of what happened last night.
Well, Hot Springs, probably the most improved team in 5A South. They missed the playoffs last year, but off to a 4-1 start this year. Coach Daryl Burnett has done a fine job over there.
He has done a good job. Also, he's got some move-ins. Like I said, I hadn't seen there before, like we talked about earlier. The quarterback comes from Malvern. A couple of those offensive tackles and guards I haven't seen before. I don't know where they come from. So, yeah, he's had quite a few move-ins, but he's definitely doing some good things with the guys that he has.
Well, quarterback number one, Cedric Allen, he's thrown for right at 300 yards per game this season. He's a very explosive dual threat.
Yeah, I think he's probably the best quarterback in the conference so far. I know it's early in the season. We still got a long ways to go. But what he's showing right now, he's definitely the best throwing arm that we have in the conference.
And finally, the keys to victory for the Leopards in the Spa City.
Always when you play teams with a lot of talent, you're going to have to eliminate the big plays. It's going to be hard for us to do, but if we can eliminate those big plays and try to get some turnovers, then that's going to be the keys to victory.
Good luck against the Trojans, Coach.
Go Leopards.
At Pilgrims, our vision guides everything we do to be the best and most respected company in our industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for our team members. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, Pilgrims invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for our team members and our neighbors. We have provided meaningful investments in projects that will have a lasting impact for generations to come. We are also building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical colleges tuition-free. Opportunity awaits. Join our talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
It's time to talk about the Horatio Lions. The Horatio Lions went to Prescott Friday night and lost 55-0, but just having a tough time, Tony. In talking with Coach Willis, they had six players that didn't dress out for the game due to injuries or other concerns, and as we know, they don't have a lot of numbers there, so it makes it very difficult for them. But went over there and played them, but this week. A different week. They're going to Parker's Chapel. Parker's Chapel has not won a game this year. So, I think this is their opportunity right here. I think they got a good shot at winning this game.
Well, there's a lot of people that travel to Prescott and come away disappointed. So,
yeah.
There's no shame in losing to Prescott. And I think this is an opportunity for the Lions this week with the Parker's Chapel Trojans. They lost to Centerpoint 44-8, and I see an opportunity for Horatio to get their second win of the season.
Yep, that's what I think too. Coach Paul David Willis is going to talk to us now.
All right, I'm here with Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions. Coach, tough game over at Prescott Friday night, 55-0 loss. Of course, Prescott's always one of the top teams in the state in 3A, and knew it was going to be a tough game going in, but what's your thoughts about the game?
Well, being totally honest, I'm glad it's over with. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough one, and it was tough. You know, we went over there. We were shorthanded. We had about six kids that wasn't even dressed out, so our numbers were even lower than normal. And then before halftime, we end up setting out two more starters. So, you know, it got ugly pretty fast, and, it's just one of those deals, and ain't no sense in doing, you know, crying over it because it's a done deal. We're going to put it in our pass and move on. You know, back in the day when coaches had video, you had a video burning ceremony on Monday and just burnt the tape and forgot about it. So can't hardly do that anymore with huddle, but that would be a great thing to do.
I understand, Coach. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to move on, and we're going to talk about Parker's Chapel. How about that?
Sound like a winner to me. That's kind of what we're doing.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's just talk about you just mentioned that you had about, several players not dressed out. This last week, are they going to be back as you come back, or what are you going to do?
You know what? That is a great question. I wish I knew the answer to that. I will find out here in about 2 hours. We have practice, and we're going to see how many of them show up and kind of where they're at with headaches and the concussion protocol and all that stuff. And then I got a couple with bumped ankles. I know one of those is not going to be back, but the other one is swearing up down that he's fixing to play. So we'll know more when he gets here today and just see how he moves. But I wish I knew the answer.
I understand. Well, you got to play with what you got. So just looking at Parker's Chapel, you know, they hadn't won a game this year. And when I looked at the scores of your score with Foreman and their score with Foreman, kind of similar. So
well, they are. And that's kind of what's good. And I guess that's what's good about athletics is, we're going to find out how resilient we are. We got a chance to to get a win, and it boils down to this. And I'm going to tell the kids when they get here in a couple hours that it boils down to this. It's going to be who wants it. You know, it's the group that is tired of losing is going to get to win one. And that's kind of the theme of the week. If you want to win one, it's up to you to focus up and get yourself ready to play and perform. And if you'll do that, you're going to be okay.
Yep. Well, I know that it's a long ways over there, but it'd sure be good to go over there and come back with a victory.
Yes, it would be nice to get on that bus and after having a victory. So we'll find out. The opportunity's there. It's going to present itself, and it's just a matter of have we got enough backbone and are we man enough to take advantage of the situation. So, you know, we'll find out. And that's what's good about athletics is, you get a chance to redeem yourself. So we got a chance.
Yeah. Well, man, anything else you want to mention before I let you go today?
No, I think that's it. We're just kind of looking forward to riding the ship.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and I look forward to talking to you about a Lion victory next week.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Time to talk about the former Gators. The former Gators played the Murfreesboro Rattlers this past week and played them a good game. Ended up losing by a couple of touchdowns, but still had a good outing there. Murfreesboro, one of the probably playoff teams in their conference, and I think that they played well, scored a lot of points, but this week they get to go to the 0-5 Mineral Springs Hornets, which, you know, and I know with small schools it's easy to get there from one year to the next, but it wasn't very long ago Mineral Springs was like undefeated. What was that, 2 years ago, Tuttle?
Yeah, a contender for the state championship.
Yeah.
It's been a few years, but yeah, I mean,
I think the first year of this podcast, they were right in it.
Yeah.
They're always competitive, so, you know, they're having a down season and maybe numbers. I think they may be low on numbers.
Yeah. You know, it can happen pretty quick.
Okay, that's okay. I thought when I looked at the matchups of our eight teams last week, I thought this would be the best game. I thought this would be, if you were just a fan going to watch a competitive high school football game, this would be the best game. It turned out probably be that way.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. They did a good job. But, you know, we looks like they got a good opportunity to get another, their second win of the season as they play the Mineral Springs Hornets this week.
Mineral Springs lost to Junction City 39-0. Not the first team to lose to Junction City.
No, it won't be the last.
No, it will not.
Junction City, pretty good.
They are.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Coach Ed Baker and see what his thoughts are on last week's game and the upcoming game against Mineral Springs.
I'm here with Coach Ed Baker of the Foreman Gators. And, Coach, before we get into football, let's talk about some golf real quick. I believe a freshman from Foreman, Jaden Tanner, is that his name?
Yes, sir. Jaden won the 2A state golf championship yesterday. It was a pretty awesome deal.
That's amazing. Congratulations to him, and congratulations to the Foreman Gators on having a state champion golfer and just a freshman. So you still got more to look into for a while.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And hey, he won't take it for granted, and he won't rest on just one. He that sucker works so hard. He's out here. You don't think about golf, but he's out here conditioning 6 days a week. He'll be out here while we're doing football practice, and he's running bleachers and running laps, and he really works at it hard. Puts a lot into it, and really, he's kind of a inspiration to watch him work at it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You don't think about the conditioning. We walked about 12 holes with him yesterday before coming back from football practice, and I was wore out. And that sucker's pushing that golf bag around. It ain't little, but it's heavy. But
yeah,
he just he does a really good job. Really works hard at it.
Well, that's great. I know he shot a 70. That's a great score over Glenwood. Maybe I can get lessons from him someplace.
He's awesome. He gets stronger as it goes on, just because of the conditioning he puts himself through.
Yeah, that's great. Well, congratulations to him. I guess we better talk a little bit about football. Went to Murfreesboro. Or Murfreesboro came to you last weekend. Had a pretty good game there.
It was a high scoring affair. It was kind of back and forth in the first half. I think they wound up being up 20-14 at the half. Came out and they got a stop on us. We got the ball coming out and then they scored, but we answered with a nice drive, cut it back to a 4-point game. They immediately scored again. We went on a nice drive. Made up a bunch of time, about 15-minute drive. Got down, had like a first and 10 on the 11-yard line, and wound up getting a penalty and stopped that drive. And they were able to go up another score. Then we responded again, came back, cut it again. So it was a back and forth game. Our kids never gave up, played hard. Murfreesboro hit some big plays on us in the passing game and a long run too. There we kind of got wore down, but they did a really good job. But our kids competed hard, and never gave up.
That's great, Coach. Just want to mention or ask real quickly, as you get into the latter part of the season, how are y'all as far as people with injuries? Pretty good.
We're holding up pretty good. Just kind of like everybody else, got some dings here and there, but for the most part, our kids are healthy and able to play. So we're on that end. We're pretty good.
That's great. So when you look at moving on to this week's game, you got the Mineral Springs Hornets. Mineral Springs down this year a little bit. They hadn't won a game yet. Looks like a good opportunity for your third victory this year.
Well, we're gonna have to show up and play. They've got some good athletes. Coach Jackson is back down there again. He was an assistant there a couple of years back after leaving Foreman. He's back there as the head coach, and they're doing a really good job. Their junior high is loaded, so he's going to have some good ones moving up eventually. But their high school team, they've just had a little bit of bad luck. I know they're going to be well coached, and like I said, they've got some athletes. If if we just think we're going to show up, that's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good situation. We got to go there with the right mindset, be ready to play four quarters.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing that game. I think y'all got a good shot there, and work hard and play hard. I think you can come away with a victory.
Well, that's what we're aiming to do. But again, like I said, we're gonna have to play a full four quarter game.
Yeah. What else is going on down in Foreman? Junior high play last week. How'd they do?
Junior high, man, we lost a tough one at Murfreesboro last week. It was kind of the same thing, kind of a back and forth affair. They scored late and then stopped us. Again, we had a penalty, put us in a bind, tried a little reverse on fourth and about 20 and picked up about 16. So, but our kids competed hard. We lost a young man during that game. Wiley Phillips broke the collarbone. He's going to be out, and that's going to hurt us a little bit. But we'll adjust and get somebody else in there ready to go.
Yeah, volleyball's going on, Alex.
Yes, sir. I think the junior high district tournament will be coming up the end of this week or next week. And so that season's getting ready to wind down. High school's got another week or two, and then they'll be in their district tournament.
Yeah, it won't be long. The basketball will be going on, will it?
Yes, sir. We want to push the boys' basketball back a little bit. We'd like to do that, but
yeah,
you know, get a little playoff action. But that's going to take some work. So, but we'll be looking forward to all the winter sports coming up with basketball.
Yeah, well, I just want to congratulate Jaden one more time and appreciate you here. Look forward to talking to you about the Gator victory next week over those Hornets.
Yes, sir. And our player game was Kalen Easter. Threw a touchdown pass, had a really good defensive game. I think he was in on 10 tackles, and so that was our player of the week.
Okay. Thank you for mentioning this. I'd forgot to ask you about that. I appreciate you telling me that.
Oh, you're all right. You bet. We appreciate you having us, and go Gators.
Go Gators.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181 and join the rest of the community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews. 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Time now to talk about the Ashdown Panthers, and the Ashdown Panthers got their first victory this week, Tony. I mean, over the Genoa Central Dragons, 48-18.
Well, you know, talking to Jim, they were really excited. You know, they could easily be 3-2. They've been in some ball games, and for them to finally get a win, and the way they did it in dominant fashion over Genoa Central, hopefully it's going to give the Panthers a lot of confidence going forward. You know, they got some tough conference games left, but they are also in a conference where somebody's going to sneak in there at the end. You got your powerhouses, and then there's going to be somebody that kind of sneaks in. That could still be the Panthers. They play Malvern this week. Malvern's 3-2. We talked about Parkview maybe down a tick. Maybe Malvern down a tick as well. And they beat Harmony Grove 34-20.
Well, it looks like the Ashdown Panthers did what they had to do last week to stay in the playoff hunt in their conference. And as they move forward, I think they're probably going to have to win at least one more game.
Yes.
Out of the games they have, Malvern would be a great opportunity.
Well, and it's the usual suspects for the Panthers, Riley Williamson and Bryson French, both have big games for Ashdown.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Jim Cross had to say when he talked to Tony.
I'm with play-by-play man for the Ashdown Panthers, Jim Cross. And, Jim, the Panthers got off the mat, off the snide Friday night, and laid one on the Genoa Central Dragons.
Well, Tony, it was good to get on the victorious side, and the guys played well. You know, I think they kind of started feeling the pressure of losing those games, because two of those games we could have won, and we just couldn't finish. But, boy, they came out early. behind Riley Williamson. He scored two long touchdown runs in the beginning of the game, and then he hit Bryson French and Hudson Hillis on a touchdown pass, and we're up 27-6 at halftime, and just kind of rolled from there. And Riley had five touchdowns total, two on the ground, three in the air. Bryson French, two in the air and one on the ground.
Wow.
And so those guys really stood out like they have all year. But the difference of the game, Tony, and Daryl and I talked about this throughout the broadcast, is our linemen, defensive linemen, big Frederick Hunter, our senior, Ethan Warner, and Mario Lewis, two juniors. They pretty much just dominated up front, stopped the running game, and put just tremendous pressure on Genoa's quarterback, Riley Harris. And because of that, Caden White, who was his birthday, 16th birthday on Friday, he had two interceptions. And then Amari Spencer also had an interception. So, but it started with the three guys up front. And, you know, if we can get that kind of effort out of those three guys, we're going to really turn it around, because those guys played fantastic. Ethan Warner, Fred Hunter, and Mario Lewis up front.
Yeah. Well, and, this would be a good weekend to turn it the other way, because, you play the Malvern Leopards, Malvern, I may eat these words, but I'm going to say they're down a tick from what they usually are, but still a very good football team.
Yeah, their quarterback transferred out, and that was a huge loss for them. So offensively, they're not quite where they've been in the past. But like I like to say, Tony, you can count on three things: death, taxes, and Malvern's two defensive tackles. You know, they're always going to have, you know, two huge guys up front. And so that hasn't changed. But you're right, offensively, they're not as dynamic as they've been in the past. And so it'll just be, can we run the ball enough and get Riley out enough to make a few big plays? Because, like I say, I think we could hold them defensively, and maybe we can score three or four touchdowns and see what happens.
Well, I do think that, you know, looking at the game, that in the past, Ashdown would have probably come out on the wrong end of a scoring contest. But I think this is a year that you all could go back and forth with them, and it may come down to who makes a stand at the end.
I think you're right, Tony, because they're very capable. You know, they'll be huge up front, and they're very athletic on the outside. And, you know, we've shown, I mean, in all of our games, we've shown the capacity to score a lot of points. It just comes down to us stopping people. And you know, what you're hoping is what you saw Friday night is kind of what we're going to see in the future. And a lot of it's just confidence, too, Tony. You know, these guys are young. Some of these guys didn't play much last year. And it's going to be interesting to see how they react coming off of a big game like Genoa and the confidence factor that brings.
Yeah, you know, you look at the conference overall, Nashville seems to have got, you know, their groove on, and Bauxite, they seem like Jekyll and Hyde, Jim. I mean, I can't figure Bauxite out. They beat Magnolia, and then, you know, they maybe lose a game they should have won. So, you know, there's definitely room for the Panthers to sneak in the back door of those playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting. The conference as a whole, I don't think, is as strong as it's been in the past. But then on the other hand, there's no bad teams.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's pretty good. And so, you know, you could, you know, at the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised to see three or four teams jumbled in the last week of the season trying to get that 4 and 5 slot. So, I mean, I don't think you can say anybody's in and nobody's out
right at
this point. And that's what kind of makes it kind of fun. Because in the past, you could always say, hey, Arkadelphia, Malvern, Nashville, and the rest of us are fighting for the last two spots. And I think that really anybody could beat anybody on a given night.
I think you're right. You know, I talked to Coach Bentley from Maine. I get to talk to him once a week as well. Their conference is very similar, where there's really not a dominant team. Ozark's kind of separating from the pack, but there's going to be one or two really good football teams left out of the playoffs simply because of parity.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and like, you know, Harmony Grove, you know, they just wore us out and they lost last week. So,
right.
I mean, I mean, Harmony Grove looked like the LA Rams. I mean, they looked, you know, they looked as smooth as they could be. And then last week they lose by three touchdowns. So I think that's kind of what you're talking about, is every week. And that's where you have hope against Malvern, because, you know, they're going to have more numbers than we are. But you think, well, we're at home coming off of a victory, and you just kind of hope that that'll carry on for Friday night.
Well, they can only play 11 at a time, brother.
Well, that's true. Well, if they could play 30, we'd be in trouble.
Well, man, I always enjoy our talks, and I hope we're talking about a Panther win over the Leopards in a cat fight this week.
Hey, it sounds good, Tony. I appreciate the call.
All right, you take care.
Yes, sir. Yep. Bye.
And now it's time for my favorite part of the show, and that is the awards section. And where we hand out all of these great players of the area and great awards going out. So you guys want to kick it off?
We sure do. And we're going to start with the Queen, and that's sponsored by Shelter Insurance, the Woods Agency, Inc. And that's going to be?
Gail Angelis, defensive back for the Leopards, had six tackles, played real well in the loss to Parkview.
And moving on, we're going to talk about Ashdown, and that's sponsored by Domtar.
A name you've heard before, Riley Williamson, goes 12 of 16 for 241 through the air. He rushes for another 97 and five total touchdowns.
Horatio, their sponsor is Horatio State Bank.
Another familiar name, Marvin Martinez, Mr. Everything for the Lions.
Yep. And moving on to Foreman, which is also sponsored by the Horatio State Bank.
Colin Easter going to get our Gator Player of the Week.
Nashville. And Nashville is sponsored by Loveless Refrigeration.
Tucker Dixon, 15 carries, 145 yards, and two touchdowns.
And the Dirks Player of the Week is going to be sponsored by Todd Moore Shelter Insurance.
Drake Thatcher, 12 carries, 83 yards, and a two-point conversion.
The MENA is sponsored by Union Bank of MENA.
Chance Hughes had an interception return for a touchdown that ended up being big in the win over Lamar.
And moving on to Costot River, that's also sponsored by the Union Bank of MENA.
They want to recognize their seniors, Chris Carterby, senior quarterback, and senior tight end middle linebacker Branson Mitchell.
All right, moving on to the awards for offensive and defensive player and the player of the area. The offensive player of the area is sponsored by Toad Thumper Lures, and that's going to be
Nashville quarterback Jacoby Hobson, 8 of 12 in the air for 57 yards and a touchdown, 15 carries for 174 yards and two touchdowns on the ground.
The defensive player of the area, sponsored by Horatio State Bank, is
Dirk's Outlaws' Mason Smith had 11 tackles, and I know Coach Ernest mentioned a couple weeks ago, he's playing hurt and just an outstanding young man.
And then the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area, sponsored by Mud Creek Designs.
Going to be Ryder House, who's had more tackles in 2 weeks than I've ever heard of, and I've statted just about my whole adult life, 43 tackles over 2 weeks, 22 this past week against Lamar, and man, he is one tough Bearcat.
The DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week this week will be
the Dirks Outlaws travel to the Murfreesboro Rattlers. Coach Ernest, we kind of talked about this. I asked him if it was Hatfield McCoy's. He said, no, it's Hatfield's versus Hatfield's. There's just so much relatives involved in this thing, and that's going to be our game of the week.
Sounds good.
UA Cossetot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossetot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Cossetot has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Cossetot's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the high school programs department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement, medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Cossetot can offer you. UA Cossetot. If you start here, you can go anywhere.
That's all we have for high school, but we want to talk about something really special before we get into the national sports scene, and that's the Dirks Outlaws and the T-Mobile FNL 5G.
FN5GL,
okay.
And it has kind of turned into a national thing, Greg.
It has.
I mean, there's people all over the country voting for the Outlaws. We appreciate it. At halftime of the Spring Hill game Friday night, they presented the $25,000 check for making the top 25, and things are down to voting now. And so get on your email accounts and vote for the Outlaws. People are doing it everywhere, and from what I hear, if you're not, you're not very cool.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true because we're all doing it, right?
That's right. Absolutely. I know somebody that can tell you a little more about it.
Who's that?
Crystal Green.
Okay, we're here today with Crystal Green from the Dirks Outlaws, and she's got something to tell us about the T-Mobile FN5GL contest that the Outlaws are currently leading. Crystal, take it away.
Well, we're so excited that we are in the top 25 in the nation in the T-Mobile Friday Night 5G Lights contest, and it's sponsored by Rob Gronkowski and Patrick Mahomes and T-Mobile, of course, and it's for a complete stadium makeover. So if we win this contest, T-Mobile will come in, and it's up to $1 million in stadium renovations, a weight room sponsored by Rob Gronkowski, all kinds of extras. And it's just, we've had the most amazing opportunity to be involved in this contest. And honestly, entering this thing, when I first applied for it, I thought this was a needle in a haystack chance. But here we are, top 25. We're leading the votes right now, but we can't let up on the momentum because we've got 24 other schools behind us that are trying for the same thing, and they're motivated too. But we are just so excited, and we love the support that we've received from everyone around the state and our communities, not just Dirks, but the surrounding towns and even the surrounding states. It's just been overwhelming, and we've had support from Jeff Foxworthy, Larry the Cable Guy, Darren McFadden, Tyler Wilson, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and many more that have just supported us, as well as local businesses like doing giveaways and all kinds of things to rally behind the Outlaws. And we just need all the support that we can get, and we need everybody to keep voting every single day up until October 24th. And you can vote you can go to our Facebook. We have a link there. We have links all over our social media, or you can go to FridayNight5GLights.com and click Dirks High School, and you can vote there. You can vote from every email you got one time a day, and we just need to bring this win home.
All right, so just so to make sure everybody understands, the way you vote is by going to Dirks and putting your email address in, and that's a vote. And
yes,
every day for every email address you have, you can vote one time per email address.
Yes, one time per email address. So if you have 10 emails, you can enter 10 votes or however many emails you've got. It's on the Friday Night 5G Lights page. We have a Dirks High School landing page. That's what they call it. And all you got to do is enter your email and click vote, and that's one vote for Dirks. So it's very easy, and we just need to spread the word to everybody that we can. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, just get the word out to vote for us.
Okay, well, you've already been a part of some success through this program to get to the final 25. And tell us a little bit about Friday night at the ball game, what happened there, and how that went.
Oh, it was amazing. Friday night, we had a T-Mobile-sponsored tailgate. and a $25,000 check presentation at halftime. So T-Mobile came in and they decked out our tailgate. We also had the community rally together and host every individual and businesses and anybody that wanted. They hosted their own tailgate, and we set up tents all on the track. We had a game ball delivered by AeriVac, so that was very neat and amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And at halftime, we actually got presented with a $25,000 check just for making it into the top 25 in this contest. And that, as well as in the previous stage of this contest, we got recognized and we received a $5,000 check. So in total, we've received about $30,000 for our football field during this contest. And that in itself is, you know, more than we could ever ask for. But, you know, we came this far and we're trying to get the million.
Yep. Well, and that's just great. But it's so great that you've already been able to do this. And, you know, one of the things that I see in this area and all over the state, and, you know, even wider than that, is the support you're receiving from, you know, maybe rival schools even. You know, people that, mm-hmm. that are all over the state are getting behind the Outlaws and voting for the Outlaws to win this. So much so that some of your competitors are thinking, crying foul.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's so overwhelmingly positive. And it's just like all of the state is coming together to rally behind us. Like you said, our rival schools are having their students vote every single day. And honestly, that it means the world to us. And at the end of the day, we feel like we've already won. I mean, it's just amazing to see the communities coming together. And that's all we could ask for. Our competitors don't understand what Arkansas can do when we rally together. And I just want to prove them wrong. And so we just got to keep the momentum going and just keep getting everybody on board with this and behind the Outlaws.
Well, sounds good. So one more time, I'm just going to go over this. You know, the way you vote is you go to Friday night, I mean, T-Mobile, Friday nights, FN5GL, and look for Dirks, and you can vote there. But the easiest way to do it is just look for a link. It's going to be on the Dirks Outlaw Facebook page. It's on the Southwest Arkansas Sportsbook Facebook page. It's on my personal Facebook page. It's on KQN 92.1 Facebook page. So plenty of places to find it. Very simple process. You just click that link. You have to click three things because you got to put your email address in. Then you have to say, you're a human and click one more time and you're done.
So. Yes, it's so simple. And also we have, if you come across a flyer, we have QR codes around everywhere. And all you got to do is bring up your camera on your phone and point to the flyer with your camera open and it'll bring up the link and you can just click on that link and it'll go straight to our landing page. You don't have to type anything in the search bar. It'll just go straight to our voting page. So it's pretty simple. And if anybody has any questions at all, you can message me. You can message anybody from Derek's and I guarantee you they'll point you in the right direction.
And if you see Jeff Tuttle driving around, he's got that QR code on the back of his truck. So
yeah. I do as well. I do as well.
So you can get it anywhere. There's no reason not to go vote. Go out and help our fellow Southwest Arkansans get the Dirks Outlaws this $1 million. We appreciate you so much, Crystal, for taking the time to talk to us, and we're going to spread the word, and we're voting every day.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you to everybody that's voting for us, and we're just so grateful for this opportunity and the support. So thank you. Go Outlaws.
All right. Now it's time to talk about some national sports and other big topics going on around the country. And this conversation is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned at 3001 Highway 71 in Mina. Give them a call today, 870-848-0796. And they're dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. So we appreciate them so much for sponsoring the national talk.
I thought it was 8,008.
It was 80,085.
Oh.
Don't worry about it. You guys are out of the loop.
I was going to say, you lost me.
He'll show you.
Yeah.
All right.
National. Should I start this whole thing over again?
No. Okay. No, but you can cut that all out.
All right, I'll cut it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
When you said that big number, I thought, that's 8,008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What you guys want to talk about first?
Now, the Hogs take their new coach, and the new coach is to Knoxville and try to play with the Tennessee Volunteers this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that ending up well for the Razorbacks. What do you think, Tuttle?
Especially after we upset them last year. The Volunteers have something on their mind, and it's not losing this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a game there?
No.
Me either, and I've always wanted to go. Well, not anymore because I don't like being around people, and they put 102,000 in that stadium. But yeah. I've always wanted to go to Neyland Stadium.
Maybe they give you your own private box.
You'd have to know somebody, one of the Mannings probably.
Yeah. There's only one of them that they'd care about up there.
True. Who didn't win the Heisman?
That's Arch because they want him for the quarterback next year.
Do they, Greg?
I don't know if they do or not.
I know. We'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. But I don't see – I'm going to tell you, you know, so much speculation about the Razorbacks and who's going to be the coach and yada, yada, yada. Nothing's going to happen until the season's over. I'm thinking that by the time that happens, we'll have a different athletic director before we have a new coach. You know, everybody's saying that Bobby Petrino's kind of getting a tryout. Well, I don't see that working out well for him. If it does,
he probably deserves a shot at the head coach job if it does work out well for him. If Arkansas manages, say, to get to 6-6 and get in the bowl game, he might be a candidate for coach of the year.
I'd say if they won two more games, he should be doing it. Nothing.
I'm not for him being our head coach, really.
I understand.
I don't know. I don't think that excites anybody. I like Bobby Petrino. I think he's a great coach. He done a great job when he was here. I may have said this on the podcast before. I don't know. I know I've said it to somebody who wasn't listening, kind of like everybody right now. I think the game hadn't really passed him by, but you know, it's a different game now. To me, I don't know.
I've said before, I'm against retreads. Let's find somebody, the next young great coach. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and there are some out there. You know, yeah,
there are. You know, and you know, they're not coaching at Alabama or something right now. They're coaching at places like Memphis and places like that. But there's some really good young coaches out there.
There are, and the thing about it is, you know it. It does. You got to have some money.
Yeah.
And right now they don't have the money. I mean, I really don't think the last time, you know, and we talked about this some last week, but Sam Pittman, the reason he got hired was because we couldn't find anybody else.
Right.
Or couldn't get anybody else to come.
I was just going to say before changing the subject, you've got a few things on here that still relate to college football coaches. And there's one on there that might be available, you know, the way things are looking.
Well, you know,
he was one of those. I mean, it just kind of blends in. He was one of those upstart coaches.
Well, coming James out of Franklin Vanderbilt said, "I'm tired of this reputation of not being able to win the big games, so I'm going to lose to a nobody. I'm going to lose to UCLA who hadn't won a game, and I'm going to get rid of that not being able to win the big game thing."
He was one of those young upstart coaches you're talking about. He was at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
I mean, they wasn't an SEC powerhouse. Yeah. He won some games he wasn't supposed to win and got that attention, and he went to a big-time job.
Did y'all see where UCLA rushed the field, and there was more people at Hoorah Days than was on the field at UCLA?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's a program that has fallen on hard times.
Well, now it's going to – I'm going to leave us there. So it's all going to be okay until he leaves again. But the thing about – see, that's one thing, and you may think I'm crazy, but that – I would blame that loss on the fact that they had to travel over across the entire country, and they're going to L.A., a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids. And I just think it's, you know, probably the first time they've ever traveled that far, maybe, and lots of stuff to do out there that, you know. That
I'm one of those people that can't keep up with things in college football these days. Is that a conference game?
Yeah, it is a conference
UCLA, game.
UCLA, Penn State. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
I know. That's what my point is. Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy if James Franklin was the Arkansas football coach.
I think you could do a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
That's one reason I kind of wanted to tie it in there. I mean,
he may be looking for a place to go.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and
they were about to run him out of town before this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's because he lost to Oregon, barely.
I wonder when the last time that UCLA and Texas were both out of the top 25 at the same time. I'm sorry, Penn State and Texas, both outside the top 25 at the same time.
Well, it hadn't been that long for Texas.
No.
But it's probably been a while for Penn State.
Yeah, it probably has.
Yeah, so it's been a while. But
I wonder how long it's been since those two and Arkansas have all been outside of time.
I'd say that answer is probably going to be the same.
Yeah. So continuing on with the college talk, what about Arch Manning? What do y'all think?
Oh, man.
I've tried to defend him, guys. I still respect what he's done, but that doesn't translate onto the field, you know?
Well, I saw the list of teams that he has beaten, and he hasn't beaten anybody.
No.
His best game he's had was in a fill-in role first hour. Was that it?
Was it me?
God, what was their quarterback? You know. Anyway, Ewers. Fill-in role.
Ewers.
Yes, Ewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And he had a heck of a game, and that's – I think that gave everybody expectations.
Well, the thing is, young man – was overhyped so much that he was almost destined not to be able to live up to the hype. Probably not as bad as he looks right now, probably not as good as the hype. You know, he's probably a 20-year-old college student. So
he'll be okay.
He will be.
I think. Again,
he's still making money.
Arch, if you want to head to Marshall, man, we'd love to have
you. Yeah, I'll take him at Arkansas. I promise you. I promise you that because we need a new quarterback. Taylor Green's gone after this year, so we'll take him. But any other college stuff y'all want to talk about?
No,
I'm kind of ready to talk about basketball because Razorbacks, you know, they played a little show up game up at Fayetteville, well attended, and they're going to Hot Springs. I think this week.
Really?
They're going to be in. I think it's Sunday. They're going to be in Hot Springs, and moving around, they've got an exhibition game against Cincinnati on the 24th. So it's rapidly becoming basketball season.
I think I saw where maybe some of the Lady Razorback softball has started doing some like games, you know, just scrimmage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it's too early for that, but I've seen it on Facebook because we got a little local flavor there.
Yeah.
On that team.
Yep. Yep, sure do. But anyway, anything else college-wise you want to talk about? What about Marshall, Tony?
Marshall was off last week, and they play Old Dominion this week. And Old Dominion is probably maybe the best team in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
So Herd will have to gird their loins, so to say, and then play hard this week.
Speak because, biblically.
Because Old Dominion's coming up a butt-whipping of Virginia Tech.
Okay. Well, so it doesn't sound real good for the...
It does not.
Yeah.
It does not.
Yeah, that's okay.
When you lose to Missouri State, the rest of the season doesn't sound good.
Well, they didn't get beat 56-13, though.
They did not.
Yeah, there you go. So, looking at the NFL, Steelers had a good off week. Every team in their conference lost, I think.
Well, every team in their division lost, plus the Chiefs lost, plus the Bills lost.
That's right.
So, I mean, I don't know if you could have had a better week in a bye week than the Steelers had this
week. Yeah, they may just take another bye week this week.
Well, I hope not. They better be. They play Bill Stowers' Cleveland Browns, and they host the Browns. So, boy, I would not like for us to lose that.
No, they don't need to do that because Bill will never give you that. You'll never hear the end of it.
I'll never hear the end of it. You're right about that. My uncles, I mean, everybody that's ever known me.
But Cowboys had a good game against the Jets. Made Justin Fields look like the reason why you didn't keep him. So the Cowboys had a really good game.
What about this receiver they got from the Steelers?
Yeah, Pickens.
Yeah.
He had a really good ball game.
Yeah.
He's had a few here lately.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing well.
Well,
but sometimes people just need a change of scenery.
Well,
you know.
Give him the season to do something really stupid.
He's proved he has.
Well, they all do that. Yeah.
He's proved he has the potential to blow up at any time.
Yeah. 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 Plus, just like the trade the Packers and the Cowboys made, you kind of got to wait and see I think the Steelers got a third round pick for him. You got to wait and see who they pick with that third round pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, the thing about it is, up to this point, it worked out well for the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
So far. And, you know, especially with losing CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
And you know, that's the problem they're going to have. Both those guys want to be the number one receiver.
Yeah.
And they can't both be the number one receiver.
Well, and you don't know what was going on behind the scenes with DK Metcalf and George Pickens either. I mean, you know, maybe you would rather have a one-ring circus than a two-ring circus. So, I mean, it's worked out well for both teams. I mean, the Steelers are 3-1. And the Cowboys, Pickens is playing really well. I think they're 2-2-1 now. So,
yeah. So, it's all right. Anything else about the NFL? There's lots of stuff going on there. You know, started out there was 3 or 4 undefeated teams this week. There's none left now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Did you see how the Jaguars won that game last night?
Yeah.
That Trevor Lawrence trips over, I guess, his offensive lineman. Lays on the ground, tries to get up, falls again. Now, he's not touched any this time. Gets up again and runs into the end zone for a touchdown.
See, I'm going to tell you this. You're right. It was a great – I mean, it was a good effort on his part, but I disagree with that play. And here's why. You can't hit him.
No, you're right.
You know, and so if you can't hit him, then when he falls down, he needs to be down.
Yeah.
You know, you either got to let him play one way or the other way. And you know, and I think everybody just kind of stopped when he fell down.
Right.
To a certain extent. And doesn't matter to me who wins, but I mean, you know.
They gave him the birthday benefit. It was his birthday
yesterday. It was his birthday. You're right. Yeah. So maybe
happy
that's
birthday,
what it was.
Happy birthday,
Trevor. Yeah, yeah, happy birthday. You got a win over the Bills. And, man, they were excited. Man,
and, you know, Kansas City's now 2-3.
Yeah.
So. They just don't look like the same Chiefs teams that have been.
But speaking of Kansas City, Taylor Swift released a new album.
And you've got it in your plan, your truck, right?
Absolutely.
Well, she also
you're a Swiftie, aren't you?
Swiftie.
She also said that anybody that wants to come to their wedding is going to be able to come. So I just wonder if it's going to be like pay-per-view or something like that. I'm serious. She said that.
She said what?
That she did. She thought that making wedding invitations and to try and decide who to invite and not invite was something she couldn't do, and that everybody could come to their wedding. So I don't know what she's thinking they're going to do.
Everybody?
That's what she said.
Where would you have that at?
I don't know. Maybe at Arrowhead.
That's not big enough.
Probably not for everybody.
No, I guarantee
you. Then pay-per-view is what makes the next most sense. Right?
Yeah. Or she may just let everybody watch it for free.
Yeah.
I mean, Neyland Stadium, then put 100,000 women in there.
Yeah. That wouldn't.
And the field.
That would be a disaster. Yeah, all the guys, Taylor, I love you, let me in.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that goes down. It'll be the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll take out Bugs Bunny and put that as the Super Bowl halftime show.
I would just want to go hang out.
Because I think
Jason Kelce.
I think Kelsey's going to be available. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. You
know, no.
I would just want to go hang out with Jason Kelce, who co-hosts my second favorite podcast.
Yeah. He it is a good podcast. You know, and did you see him interviewing Coach Andy Reid and Kelsey and Mahomes last night. It was hilarious. At one point in time, he was kind of stumbling over some words, and Coach Reid said, "Just spit it out." Like he was coaching him, you know. It was really good. But, you know, I think one of the things I think about the NFL last week or this last set of games is proving that anybody can beat anybody on a given night. And you know, but so one other thing I want to talk about, though, is Tony Romo. I don't know if you saw anything about that, but, man, the Philadelphia Eagle fans do not like him as a commentator. Can you believe that?
I didn't see anything about it.
Well, yeah, they're wanting him fired.
What'd he say?
What did he do?
Well, they just didn't like the way he commented. They said he was for the Broncos the whole game because he played for the Cowboys. Come on. He hadn't played for the Cowboys in 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you could still hate the Eagles, though.
Yeah. And he may hate them. I'm sure he does hate them.
Are people really wanting, like, the most unbiased commentary, too? I mean,
no, they want it to be biased for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants.
So,
yeah. I've always felt like, and I think Tony and I, we've talked about this, that Tony Romo was a good commentator.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite color commentators.
Mine, too. I mean, yeah. I like him. But Chris Collinsworth, I used to couldn't stand, and I think he's one of the better ones now.
Yeah.
Just because, man, there's so many games broadcast now, they've had to get so many different people to do it.
Yeah, Troy Aikman does a good job.
Mark Sanchez.
I'm not a big J.J. Watt guy. I've heard him do a couple Steeler games, and he's just starting out, so he'll probably get better. But I think Romo's better than Brady.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think Romo's the best caller commentator in the NFL right now.
Mark's commentary was always cutting, you know. Razor sharp, it was.
Agreed.
It's amazing to me that, you go out, going to try to have a good time, and you can't keep yourself under enough decorum not to end up in the hospital and then get
felony charges filed against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, but surely you do. Mark Sanchez had a little incident over the weekend before his game that he was supposed to broadcast on Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturday night, got into a little trouble in the hospital.
Man. Mm-hmm. And none of us got a call to take his place.
Well, oh, man.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What else, man?
Well, we got to talk about baseball.
All right.
I don't know anything about it.
Me either.
But the playoffs are happening.
There's a guy who throws the ball. Yeah. The other guy tries to hit it.
Yeah,
and it's really hard.
I watched, like, when games are in the afternoon, there's nothing else on, I turn it on. And so, but until it gets to, it helps me sleep. Until it gets to the World Series, I don't know. I'm just not that interested.
Do they still play the afternoon games or is everything prime time now?
No, they play. Right now in the wild card round and divisional playoff round, they'll play.
Those are the best. I guess I'm a Brewers fan from here on out this season.
Not that I have anything against the Brewers, but as long as teams like the Brewers and the Mariners are making runs into the playoffs and possibly winning a World Series, baseball's not going to fix their financial situation. What I want to see, as much as I would hate it, is the Dodgers or Yankees win it for 10 straight years, where baseball would have to say, we got to do something about this. Mm. But right now, baseball can say, well, look at the Brewers. Look at the Brewers. Every 10 years, they got a good team, and they make a run. Or, you know, and the Reds, you know, Reds are in the same boat. You look at the way the NFL does their money and the way Major League Baseball does their money, and it is a joke. I mean, everybody in the NFL has an equal opportunity to compete. If you spend your money right and you get the right coaches and the right players, no one can outspend you in the NFL.
Right.
But in baseball, the Pirates are basically getting players ready for the Yankees and the Dodgers. That's what they're doing. You know, Skeens, you think he's going to be a lifelong Pirate? No. I mean, he's going to make more money when his contract is up, if the Pirates don't trade him first, then they're playing all the Pirates right now. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's hard to be a fan of one of those teams. And it's hard for me to to as much as I would love to see a team like the Mariners or the Brewers win the thing, I know that that's going to push one more year of baseball not wanting to fix their situation.
Well, so based on what I know about it, it looks like the Brewers are pretty good.
The Dodgers
are real good.
Yeah, of course they are. They're spending $300 million.
Yeah, I know. So they've got Ohtani back.
Yeah.
Full. So he's pitching and hitting and doing everything he does. And, you know, and then you look at the other side. I'm not sure that the Yankees are good enough to get there. Are they? Yeah. I mean, they're always good enough, I know, but, I don't.
Depends on Goose Gossage.
Okay. Well, if he comes back and pitches, they'll probably win.
I think he's hittable.
Maybe
right
they
now.
Get Gene Hackman to give him a pep talk.
I think Goose Gossage is hittable right now.
He may be, but I don't even know who's in. I know the Mariners are in. Who's the other team?
I think the best team, in my opinion, and it's another team that not a small market team, but a middle of the road team, is the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are probably the best team in the American League right now.
Okay. So who's the other team on the west side?
You got
Mariners and who?
Let's see.
The Blue Jays. They're from
Toronto.
Toronto. Why are they in the American?
They've
League?
Always been in the American League.
Right. Is there a Canadian League?
No.
Okay.
We used to have a couple of Canadian teams. One of them is now
Arizona Diamondbacks, right?
No.
Montreal Expos.
Is the Nationals now.
The Nationals.
Yeah, the Montreal Expos.
Oh, okay.
They had the best uniforms.
Yeah?
Yeah, they had great uniforms.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can tell none of us know enough about it because we're going to wait till the World Series, and then we'll probably watch the last innings. Baseball on TV has become the ultimate boredom.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Well, and to my point, if you had more than five or six teams when the year started that had a chance to win the World Series, it may not be as boring.
That's right.
But when 10 or 12 teams know on April the 1st that they have no shot at even probably making the playoffs, I mean, that's a prescription for boredom.
Yeah.
It is.
And they play so many games.
Yep.
How many games in the regular season? It's unreal.
162.
Man. That's a lot.
163 if you make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It really takes a lot. But anyway, anything else you guys want to bring up before we get out of here?
I think we pretty much covered it.
All right.
And then some.
Sounds good to me. We'll get out of here. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening to us. I hope you're enjoying what we're doing. Thank you to all our sponsors. They're the greatest. We couldn't do it without them. And just want to especially mention the kids, because that's who we do it for, and we're pulling for you every week. And get out there and do your best, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.